In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cashflow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
On our program of Prepare Without Fear, the next law that I talk about is the law of provident living. Very simply, it has 4 parts to it in order of priority. Top of the list, nothing takes precedence over this, is spiritual. Number 2 is attitude. Make all the difference in the world whether you live or die. Then you have, well, how do you change your attitude? And the next thing in the list is how you change attitude. It's part of the whole thing, and that is knowledge. Knowledge is information multiplied by experience. And then we have the material things, or as I like to call it, stuff. The stuff that you need, but you've got to have the right order of having, first, a spiritual foundation. Secondly, your attitude has to be right. Third, you need the knowledge. Of course, the knowledge and your attitude helps you get the right things. When we take a look at the material things, that's what everybody wants to talk about and spend all their time and money on. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you keep it in the proper order. The stuff I break into 2 parts. In fact, I call it the principle of wilderness wisdom, which is all about the material things. There's 2 parts to it. One is the survival or preparedness parachutes. There's the parachute concept. And then we have the permanent or long-term provisions. The preparedness parachutes, this is things that don't last very long. This is just in the short term for a couple of 3 days or maybe up to a week or 2. The order of priority is clothing, water, sanitation, and then special needs. Then we have the long-term provisions when things are going to be extended periods of time, you know, weeks, months, years, makes no difference. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at your life right now in the material area, there are eight areas that you must be satisfying. They are clothing, water, sanitation, nutrition, which is today's topic, shelter, wellness, tools, and supplies. What I've been doing over the past weeks is going down through these in order and occasionally stopping and spending more time on them. We're coming back to the winter thing since we're in the middle of winter and we had some people get injured and a few people die. I wanted to spend some time there. But we're moving on to nutrition right now. Now, if we take a look at this area of nutrition, call it preparedness nutrition, you have to think in terms of what does it really take. You see, it's so important that you just don't skimp on this topic. You are what you eat. You are what you eat right now. You will be what you eat during an emergency. And quality nutrition is important. It's important all the time. But think about this. You're in an emergency. Something has happened. Your world is upside down. You're under physical, mental, emotional stress. Perhaps you have been injured. You're exposed to a lot of sickness and things around you. You do not want to be eating weakening foods at that period of time. Negative foods, stressful foods, foods that drag the body down. You need to have quality and nutrition then. Of course, when I talk in this area of going into emergency, you need your health now beforehand. That means quality food also. See, those negative foods that are so common put a lot of stress on your system. And, oh, by the way, here's a thought. Sometimes it's talked about when you go into an emergency for yourself or for your family or for children, you want to have these things we call comfort foods, things that are comforting to you, the treats, if you will. And I've got to tell you that in terms of the standard diet, the way most people eat, the comfort foods are almost every single one of them are very negative and very stressful. We'll talk a little more about those in a few moments. Thinking about this quality nutrition, let's get some concepts out here that will help you understand what I'm talking about. First off, let's consider the way that we're going to look at foods, the categories of foods that you would put into storage. I break them down into three groups, and we'll dig a little more into them today, these three food categories. One is expedient foods. Second are convenience foods, and then third are long-term storage foods. Expedient. You remember in the class we did on water, and if you didn't listen to that one, go back and listen to it. But there we talked about expedient water. What does expedient mean? It just means you really don't have to do anything other than, you know, use it, drink it. I have this little bottle of water on my desk right here that's just, you know, pop the cap on it, drink the water. That's expedient. I didn't have to do anything other than open it. There was no processing. There was nothing other than just use it. Well, foods can be like that also. It's nice to have some expedient foods, particularly if you're on the move, particularly at the very beginning of a disaster, because you're just trying to get your head kind of back on. You're trying to deal with the stresses of the moment. You haven't calmed down and decided that you're going to be here now, that it's okay. However the world is at the moment, you have to accept it. It will have to accept you. That sometimes takes some people, you know, maybe only a few hours, most people a number of days, and typically we say about 2 weeks for people to finally say, you know, I've got to make a choice. I'm going to live or die. During that time when you're just kind of drifting along, if you will, I call it the deer in the headlight stare. You know, you're just kind of looking in shock, literally, and that's where people are. They're in an emotional, physical, mental shock because the world has changed so much. You really don't want to have to be thinking a whole lot about, oh, how am I going to fix this meal? That's where expedient foods come in. They're very handy to have. Convenience foods, take a little more processing. Primarily a convenience food is something that you may have to either just bring to a boil or you would add hot water to or some other little bit of processing, a little bit of time. But that's the primary things. In most cases, we're looking at things you add boiling water to them or you bring them to a boil and let them set. You don't have to do any recipes, any thinking, any fixing. Again, that's kind of nice. Now, one challenge that we have in today's society for most people here, they're either working with the expedient foods or the convenience foods. You know, take it out, thaw it, eat it, take it out, put it in the microwave and, you know, nuke it, open up the package and dump it out and heat it or dump it into a pot or a pan and heat it. The expedient and the convenience foods is what so much of our society is built around right now. So people will understand those. But for the long term, you're going to have to learn now to work with what I call the long-term storage foods. We'll talk about what those are. Now, these are things where you're going to build recipes. We're talking about things that your grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents may have done to fix a meal. Some of the steps that they had to go through working with very basic foods. Well, those are the three food categories. It's kind of how you would use the foods. We'll discuss a little bit of them as we go along. Now then, I also talk about the five food groups. Now, you've probably seen the food pyramid, and you think of the five food groups here. Now, here's the real five food groups. And we have to kind of blend this with the expedient, convenience, and long-term in this whole nutrition area. See how they fit together. The five food groups are, number one, and this is from the very top of the pyramid, if you will, and I guess in reality it would be from the bottom if you're thinking in the way they talk about in the food pyramid. The most of them at the bottom you want to use right up to the very pinnacle top or use less of them. So the most important food that you want to build your nutrition around now and in the future would be live foods, living foods. Secondly, we have sleeping foods. Third, it's dying foods. Fourth, it's dead foods. And last, it is the deadly foods. Now, let's talk about what I mean by those. Deadly foods. That happens to be most of these things people think of as the comfort foods. All of the comfort foods so often are deadly foods. You know what they are. That's the highly colored, flavored, sweetened, artificial, whatever it is, snacky crackies, the colored cereals, the toaster pastry things that there's nothing live left in them and everything's been processed and colored and cooked, the artificial everything, candy, they're loaded with sugar is one of the things because we have this sweet tooth that we've developed. The drinks that are made with nothing but artificial flavors, artificial colors, and artificial sweeteners, you know, they may sparkle the tongue and taste kind of good, but boy, your poor liver and kidney has to deal with those things to get those toxic chemicals out of your body. So the deadly foods. Now, you'll think of them as being fairly expedient because there isn't anything to do but rip open the wrapper and eat it, but just because it's expedient does not mean you should be consuming it. So the deadly foods is something that you want to avoid. That would be that very pinnacle of the pyramid where you use as little or none of that at all. Just lop that one out of your diet now. And in the emergencies, those things take more water to process for your body to deal with them. Your body has to flush this stuff out. In fact, sometimes the way I describe the human body to my students is think of your body as a toilet, and it takes water to flush a toilet. And the more junk you put in the toilet, the more water it takes to flush it away. Your body works just like that. It needs the water to process and get rid of the negative chemicals and pollutants and things that you put into the body. So I would recommend you stay completely away from the deadly foods. Now, let's talk about dead foods. Dead foods, as a matter of fact, is where a big chunk of your the expedient foods will lie. These are things that have been heat processed or in some cases radiation processed, but heat processed. We're talking wet pack cans or pouches. Things that have been put into some kind of a container and then heated so that they kill all the bacteria that might be in there so they won't spoil. The only thing about killing all the bacteria is it also kills all the enzymes and denatures some of the more sensitive vitamins and breaks them down these nutrients. So wet pack boots, we'll talk a little more about them right after this break.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I am Jim Phillips on this beautiful day as I look out my office window here and see nothing but a field of snow that's in my backyard. Not a track in it, and the diamonds sparkling in the snow from the sun. Winter's a great time of the year. Of course, if you're warm and comfortable, that doesn't mean inside. You can be outside in it, too, and enjoy it. So it's a great winter day for us today. So continuing with the thought about dead foods. One of the very common ones are the wet pack foods that come in cans or pouches. They've been heated, which has destroyed many of the nutrients. Now, it doesn't mean that they're as bad as the deadly foods, but they don't have very many live components or very much left of anything that would be live. Many of the things have been denatured and damaged. Now, they may also come in the form of, like, crackers. You know, you can have a whole grain cracker, and it's been cooked So much of the live components have been destroyed by the heat. They are expedient to eat this way. Open a can of pork and beans, take a spoon and eat it. Take a stick and eat it. That's very, very expedient, extremely handy to have. Open up a can of tuna fish and just eat it. You know, a lot of people are so used to having to have everything heated up and warmed up. Well, that's just a cultural habit. Now, you want to heat something, if it might have some contamination, that bacterial contamination, to kill it, you certainly want to do that. But these foods that have been properly pasteurized, they don't have any bacteria or anything in them. Now, if the can is bulging and leaking, don't eat it. You know, if the pouch is all swollen up and full of gas, bury it. Get rid of it. You don't want to be consuming it. Don't even try heating it to eat it. Crackers, and they may be very, very made with whole grains and things like that, so that's better than eating a candy bar, but still falls in the dead category. But that's some of our expedient foods. Now, there's other things that are expedient that are not necessarily dead like that, but that's our most common one. What's that dying food? Well, that's that broccoli or that cauliflower or that carrot that's been sitting out too long and it's getting kind of limp and wilted and shriveling and what have you. It still has live things in it, but they're going away. Better to use them quickly. Of course, before they get to the dying stage is the best of all, but if it's in dying, that's still better than the foods that are dead. Now, just be sure they're not decaying. You know, if the plant or the fruit or the vegetable is just wilting and shriveling, it hasn't turned into, you know, slime and has all kinds of stuff oozing out of it, it's just dying and you can go ahead and consume it safely. If it's into the decaying stage, that means it's already dead. You do not want to eat them then. How about these sleeping foods? The sleeping foods, the ones that are the easiest to understand and to lay your hands on, are the seeds, the legumes, the grains, whole wheat, rye, any of the beans, the lentils, and the legumes, and those things that are whole that still have the germ. If you take a look at pearled barley, has been skinned. They've buffed off all the bran and the outer covering, the epiderm of the grain, and so it would not be a sleeping food because you can't wake it up. It's been killed in that process of skinning it. But if the whole epiderm, the outer covering on the grain is there on the legume and it still has the germ, that little dot down on the end, like on the corn kernel, you know, down at the bottom of it in there, that's where the germ is, or on the wheat, you know, down at one end, that it has that little spot, that little oval down there. If that's all there, that grain is asleep. It's hibernating. What you do is you give it some a warmth, a little bit of water, and some time. Keep it moist, keep it damp, and it begins to germinate. It's one of the miracles that we have been given, where these grains and seeds will store for, you know, years, decades, and millennia in some cases, if the conditions are right, and they will wake up. Now, we can also think of these sleeping foods as things you would plant in the garden, wake them up, and then have them go to fruit and harvest the fruit. That was a sleeping food. Wake it up and turn it into a live food. We're going to talk in a moment about sprouting because that's such an important thing to do. Other kinds of foods that may be sleeping, if they have been processed with very low heat, where the enzymes have not been denatured, it may be things that this one cereal that I've talked about are both the cereals and the bars and the juices, the AMA foods made with a lot of amaranth in there, popped amaranth. Much of what's in there is sleeping. Now, it's not all sleeping. Some of it's dead. But there's a lot of sleeping components in there. And when you add the water to it and allow it to set, these enzymes that haven't been denatured with high heat or radiation or anything else, they will still be viable and your body can use them. So you have to look very carefully at something to determine whether it's sleeping or whether it is dead. You can take some of the nuts, and as long as they haven't been heated and long as they haven't sat around too long, you can have a nut, or like a sunflower, 6-8 months, maybe a year if it's kept cool and dark. After a while, they start to go rancid. They're not quite as nice then, but you can have seeds stored properly that you can eat, and nuts that you can eat, and they're still alive, and they're much better for you than some things. But right after this break, we'll be on our nutrition discussion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. A way for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Fear. If you have questions, please email them to me at askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com, or you can leave a voicemail message at 1-888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U, get set. My staff will pick up those messages, pass them on to me, and I'll be sure they get added into our future programs. I appreciate the questions and comments that have come in from people. Another thing to consider doing, you could go to our website, our primary website, which is preparemyfamily.com. And on preparemyfamily.com, you'll find one thing I like people to get, and that is the number one DVD in our series, which is all these basic principles and foundation concepts. It's a available to you. The information is free. We're just getting it to people for the cost of delivery, which is $5.50. When you go to the website, you'll find a place where it says DVD giveaway. I think it's right on the front page. Our website's going through a lot of changes, so I don't know where everything is right at the moment because it's starting to evolve, and we'll have a lot more available. There's also free downloadable items in the library there. You can get one on nutrition that you can print out. It's a PDF file. You can print it out, make copies. Please give it away. All right, back to this idea of sleeping foods and some of the things that may fall into that category. People ask me, what about frozen foods? And frozen foods, if they were all processed properly, if they weren't heated or boiled beforehand and then frozen, if they were fresh frozen, you take your peas from the garden and freeze them. Flash freezing, of course, is the best thing to do, but most people at home don't have the ability to do that, but the big packagers, they do. And some of them, they'll get them right from the field into the flash freezer within just, you know, 3 or 4 hours, and those foods are still very fresh when they went in. They're frozen, and freezing will put things into suspended animation. It extends their life quite a bit. Now, frozen foods, it's very important that they be kept solidly frozen. They're, you know, you don't half thaw them and then freeze them and thaw them and freeze them. That just kills them. But if it's fresh frozen, you still have many of the enzymes and live food components that are still viable. And when you thaw them out, of course, now if you thaw out the peas and then boil the heck out of them, they're dead. You thaw out the peas and eat them. Just warm them up a little bit. And by the way, I love peas and soup, frozen peas and soups and things like that. If you have a soup or stew that's still kind of hot, just dump in a bunch of frozen peas to cool the soup down. Kind of warms up the peas, but doesn't really cook them, and go ahead and eat them. So frozen foods may, in fact, be mostly sleeping. What about freeze-drying? Freeze-drying is a process where the food, whatever it is flash-frozen, quickly frozen, and then it's put into a vacuum, and the ice will sublimate. It changes right from a solid state into a gaseous state and is removed from it. And freeze-drying is a nice way of preserving foods, and it will leave many of the nutritional components still intact. So here, when you reconstitute it with water, and again, if you don't heat it, if you just reconstitute it or just eat it, you know, the dry fruits that have been freeze-dried are just wonderful. Freeze-dried blueberries or loganberries or raspberries or strawberries, they are delicious. Just eat them the way that they are. Now, that is real candy, and it's good for you. Now, if it's some kind of a soup or a stew that has artificial flavors and colors and all this stuff, and it's been heated and cooked, and then it's made into a powder form that's frozen, and you just have to add hot water to it, you won't find much alive in there. That's a very convenient food, but it's also probably a dead food when it's been produced that way. So start thinking about foods as you're buying them to use right now, but also when you're thinking about things to set aside in your pantry and your emergency shelves. You'd like to have as much that is in the sleeping variety, because that'll long-term store, as well as, of course, in the live variety, but live foods don't store real well. That's something you have to keep consuming. So sleeping foods is something you would be looking at storing. Freeze-dried variety, some of them that are processed with low heat, or the seeds, the grains, the legumes that are literally asleep, and you just wake them up with some warmth and some water. Now, on that topic of the seeds, let's talk about that for a moment, because here is how you get one of your sources of live foods that's so important during and after an emergency, and that is with seeds. And it may be wheat. Wheat's a fine thing to store, the whole wheat. Not bulgur wheat or something, or flour that's been ground or anything like that, but the whole kernel wheat that has been stored properly in a cool, dark location where the humidity is low. Keep them dry, because humidity, heat, and light destroy all kinds. All foods will eventually be destroyed by them, including the grains. grains that are kept cool, dark, and dry can store for long periods of time. Now, here's another thing about storing of grains. I've done some experimenting because I heard a lot of controversy about this. One person said it was one way, one person said it was another way, and that is the fact that you can kill the grains. Now, we know about heat, we know about light, we know about humidity and spoilage and weevil and all those things, but do grains need oxygen? Do they need air? Yes or no? And the bottom line is, it appears to me, and all my little experiments and trials have shown, and other people that I've worked with have shown, that they need a small amount of air, a small amount of oxygen. The grains are, in fact, hibernating extremely, extremely low metabolism. I don't know if there's really a metabolism there or not. But if you put them in an evacuated atmosphere, and I stored things like this, some of my lentils and grains, and I put them in a number of 10 cans, put an oxygen remover in there so that the oxygen was out of it. I canned some of them in CO2, and after a number of years, now they don't die overnight, and it takes a number of years. After 10, 12, 15 years, those grains are not vital. They've been stored cool, dark, and dry, but they don't have any oxygen in the cans. I have other grains, wheat, and lentils and some of these that are stored in plastic buckets where the lids can be removed. I remove them periodically. You open up, and you can get a little bit of air in there. It's not much. Every couple of years, if you just open them up and reach down inside and give them a stir, then you've got enough oxygen to keep them alive. And then if they're cool, dark, and dry, that extends their shelf life extensively. So vacuum packing the grains, at least for some of them I've observed, it seems to kill them. They smother. What's very interesting about those lentils, I had some in number 10 cans that I put up at the same time, some without oxygen, some with just the air that was in the can. And I opened them up, and you could tell that the ones that had had the oxygen removed from it, it looked like they had suffocated. They looked funny. They had a different color to them. It looked like that poor little seed at some time was having trouble. I don't know if that's true or not 100%, but it's kind of my interpretation of things, that they looked different, as though when they ran out of oxygen, they didn't like the process. So my experience has shown they need a little bit, tiny little bits of air periodically, but keep them cool, dark, dry, away from vermin. You can have grains. I have grains that have been stored in some sacks where they're very dry. In our climate, it's very dry, and I don't have any vermin in these storage rooms. And they're just fine in sacks, and they're decades old right now. You can take them out and sprout them. All right, having said that, sprouting is something you must learn. It's vital that you learn how to sprout. What can you sprout? Just about any seed. Some of the easiest ones to sprout are going to be, the wheat. The whole rye is a great thing to sprout. Sunflower seeds. Now, sunflower seeds don't store very long, but, boy, are they just delicious when you let them sprout. Lentils. It's one of my favorite sprouts. Lentil is a very mild sprout. Some people don't like the taste of lentils. They seem a little bit, strong or a little bit odd. But when they sprout, they're an extremely mild sprout. They're very much like an alfalfa sprout. So you can look at just about any bean or seed, a whole pea. Now, split peas are not going to sprout because they've been damaged, they've been skinned, if you will, and also the germ may have been knocked out of it. And I've had some peas that are split in half and the germ is on one side, and that germ, where they germinate from, they'll go ahead and sprout. But if you have, your standard cooking split peas, don't expect them to sprout. Almost none of them will sprout. The chickpeas or the garbanzo beans, they sprout. I've sprouted all kinds of beans. Now, some of the beans, like pinto beans and the red beans and those, they're a little stronger in taste when they sprout. That's why I like lentils, because they're very mild if you're introducing somebody to them. There's also some sprout blends, sprouting mix blends that have several different grains and legumes in them, and those are really, really good. So sprouting is important. Now, if you haven't sprouted before, let's talk about some of the tools of sprouting. You can buy books on this. You can get some of the books on different ways of sprouting and different methods. Let me describe to you the different ways to do that. The simplest, the lowest cost, and the one that you can just kind of do because you can find stuff laying around the house usually, is going to be sprouting them in a jar, like a mason jar, with a canning jar with a screw-on ring. You don't want to use the metal lid that snaps in there. You just want to use the ring. And you can use that with a cloth cover, like a cheesecloth or a mesh over the end. You can use a nylon stocking, although nylon, the mesh is a little fine. You'd really like to have something that's a little more open than that. That's one of the ways of sprouting, but it takes a lot more care if you do it that way. Here's the idea of sprouting. They do need to be warm. They do need to be wet. So typically what you'll do, let's say we're just going to sprout wheat right now, or lentils, doesn't make a difference. You would, first off, one of the things I've found is that you want to have, you like to have grains, first off, that are good quality. Organic is the better, as a matter of fact. You want things that have not been treated for storage. Now, if you go to some places, you may get your grains. They may have had some kind of a fungicide or something added to them. You don't want those for sprouting. Now, you can have sprouting seeds that have diatomaceous earth. It's sometimes also called fossil shell flour, and that is a mineral. It's literally a fossil from diatoms from ancient seas, and it will keep weevil from liking to hatch out in there. It'll keep critters out of there because the little fossil shell flour, the diatomaceous earth, is like little splinters of glass to the insects. And when they crawl through it, it punctures holes in the flexible part of their armor where the joints are, and they literally dehydrate. They kind of bleed to death. So they don't like to be in that, but you can eat it. It'll rinse away, but you could eat it. If you consume it in your diet, it will not hurt you, but yet it will harm the insects. So a diatomaceous earth, an unchemically treated diatomaceous earth that's in the seeds, would be just fine. Other than that, you just want the seed. The other thing to consider about these seeds is, particularly if you're just buying them from the grocery store, and I do that a lot, I just buy them from common places, but they have broken kernels in there. The broken kernels, the split lentils, the peas that were whole peas but they've broken in half, the grain that split in half, they will not sprout. And what happens is they can decay, and too many of them, you can spoil it. Now, the seeds, when they begin to germinate, they have some chemicals that they give off that retards molding because they're in a wet environment. But if you have too many broken kernels and grain pieces around them that do not come to life, you'll have too much decaying matter in there, and the whole thing can spoil. So what I like to do with my seeds that I'm going to sprout, if they weren't quadruple cleaned and just specifically for sprouting, which is really nice, but they're much more expensive, so I use the common grains, go through, spread them out like in a cookie sheet, and just pick out the most of the broken kernels, the shattered pieces, because they will not sprout, and they can contribute to molding or decaying. So you clean them yourself. And it's particularly easy to do with the larger beans and seeds because you can pick them right out of there. I will do it with the wheat and the smaller ones too. Now, you may spread your grains out on your cookie sheet and you might find that there's just a very small number of broken or crushed kernels, in which case, just leave them in there. It's not like it has to be perfectly clean. You just don't want a large number, like a 5% or 10% broken kernels in there. That's going to cause decay problems. So now you have your grains that you've cleaned. You have them ready, and I'll clean a whole bunch of them so in the future when I want to sprout, I don't need to go through and do this cleaning process each time. First step is, after you have cleaned them, you'll just rinse them. You'll get dust and anything off of them, so we'll just rinse them in some water. Whatever you're using for your sprouting container, you can put them in there and just drain off the water would be fine. Then you'll soak them. Fill up your bottle, your container, your jar, whatever you're using with water. Use warm water because this, again, will kind of begin the germinating process. And let them soak. Now, depending on the size of the grain, about 4 hours for the smaller ones, up to around 8, 9 hours. overnight is fine. Even with the small grains, if you do just before you go to bed, you'll put them in there to soak in the morning, drain them off right away. Now, if you soak them too long, if you leave them in water for, you know, 14, 16, 24 hours, whatever it is, they literally drown, and they will decay. They will never come to life. So don't drown them in water too long. Soak them for a few hours, and then drain the water off. Give them another little rinse, just a little bit of a rinse, and then into your sprouting container, whatever that is. Now, let's talk about the different kinds of sprouters that you can use. The mason jar with the screw-on ring that you would put some kind of a screen-like material, a mesh material over the end, works just fine. However, you'll have to do a lot of rinsing when you do them that way. The grains will have a tendency to stick to the sides of the jar, and it'll be very wet around the jar. So you're going to put water in there, and if you have the screen over the end, this is what's handy. Then you just turn it up and you just drain it out. In fact, it's best if you set these bottles at an angle. You can even buy or make little sprouting trays where the open end of the jar points down so water will drain out of them. And that's why you have the mesh on the end that retains the grain or the seed in there. And then you'll want to turn those a couple of times a day to rotate them, because the seeds that are right next to the glass, it's going to be very, very wet there, and it may, in fact, contribute to spoiling. So you'll rotate them a couple of times a day, and you'll need to rinse them at least twice a day. Once a day is the bare minimum. Twice a day would be fine, depending on the conditions. Right after this break, we'll be talking about sprouting plants.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say, go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Thank you.
on this beautiful afternoon talking about preparedness nutrition, finishing up some more in this area of sprouting. Now, if you live in an area where it is hot and humid, such as in the southern tier of the states in the summer, it's a little more difficult to do sprouting, particularly in that jar method, because it's going to be very warm and it's extra, extra wet in there. Things don't dry out as fast. If you're seeing spoilage, rotting white stuff growing in there, it may be furry or it may be just kind of slimy, it's usually too warm and too wet. Things need to be a little bit drier. You need more oxygen, more air circulating through, so you may want to use a different sprouting method. But the jar sprouting works very well. I've done it for years when I had nothing else, and it was basically free. I didn't have to do anything but just use those jars we have for canning. Now, you've got tray sprouters, and they may be rectangular, they may be square, they may be round, but there's different kinds of tray sprouters. This is usually a plastic device that has a holes all over the bottom, and what it allows you to do is, as normal, so rinse your seeds, soak your seeds in water, and then pour those soaked seeds out in this tray. Should have a lid that goes on the top, and then you can rinse them once, twice a day, and just allow water to go through. You have to keep them damp. So that you can't have them out in the open. These plastic tray sprouters, they'll have a plastic lid that goes over top. You get a little bit of air that circulates up through them, so they don't have a tendency to be quite as wet. So this will work generally better than the bottle or jar method, particularly in a humid area. And then you just run water over them once or twice a day. Now, I recommend, if you can, you use warm water. I don't know about you. I don't like cold showers. Neither will your sprouts. You'd like to have water that's basically at room temperature, whatever temperature they're used to, or a little bit above, so that they don't get a thermal shock. One of the tray sprouters that's different, I discovered this one years ago, and it used to be my favorite sprouter until the newest one I found. It's a round one with stacking trays. There's like four or five of them in there. And rather than having holes that go through the bottom, there's a series of grooves that hold the grain up off the bottom. You'll have water in the groove, and then the grain will be setting up on top of that. It has little siphon ports over on the side, so you pour the water in on the top, it fills up, and then it starts to siphon out down to the right level, runs to the one below it, and then down below it. I got those out of Europe years ago, but I have them in the U.S. BioSnacky was the original name, but I've seen them under some other names. Has a really nice little sprouter. It does a good job, too. And it's also easier to clean. One of the biggest challenges you have with the tray sprouters with all the holes in the bottom, you will have the root that starts to grow out of the seed will go down through these holes, and they stick out the bottom. You have to clean those things out of there. Those trays with all the holes in the bottom, the mesh in the bottom, take a lot of water to clean. In an emergency situation, consuming a lot of water is a problem. So I found that these round tray stacking ones with the grooves, you don't have the holes where the roots go through. It takes a lot less water to scrub them up, to clean them up. You do have to keep them clean. So that was a better sprouter. Now, right after the top of the hour break here, we'll continue with our sprouting and our live foods and our nutrition discussions, helping you make some decisions on what would be the best thing for you to consider doing. But what is important to me right now is that not only you learn the theory of sprouting, but you begin practice sprouting. Do it. Do it now so that it's natural, it's easy for you to do, so it's just a habit. Right after this break, we will discuss more about sprouting and preparedness nutrition. I am Jim Phillips. Prepare without fear.